Super special episode today. We'll be chatting about Prop 848 with some Cosmos OGs. Our guest needs no introduction. We have Zaki from Sommelier and Inclusion, Jack from Strangelove Labs, and Carter from Shape Protocol. Welcome, guys. Right. Maybe Zaki, could you help us to set up the context of this discussion? Like, what is Prop 848 and why is it significant for Cosmos? Zaki, can you hear me?
Okay, now we can unmute. Hey, GM everybody, I think we can talk now.
Yeah, Zaki, please go ahead.
All right, nice to meet everyone this morning. Awesome, let's dive in. What is Prop 848? Okay, so when Cosmos Adam sort of came up with this original design, which is this dynamically controlled inflation rate, and my motivation for this dynamically set inflation rate was when we started building Cosmos, no one was interacting on-chain at all. Coins only existed on centralized exchanges. And the biggest concern was that, you know, that Cosmos would launch and no one would want to stake. That, you know, in the sense of no one would like set up a wallet, start staking, like, you know, and this is, you know, this is 2016, when like all of this design was sort of conceived, and it was all implemented in 2017 and 2018. So, Bez, who is one of the core devs on longtime core devs of Cosmos. Cosmos Hub launches in early 2019 with these parameters. The parameters were in the white paper. Parameters were pretty much agreed on in 2016. That, you know, we would do 7-20% dynamically controlled inflation. We would target a 66% staking rate, and the inflation. And the intention was, like, all of these numbers are basically not particularly rigorous. They're somewhat arbitrary values. Like, why is 20% a good number? We don't know. It seemed like it would be enough to motivate people to stake. Why should we target 66% staking? 66% is a good meme, the BFT threshold of any sort of BFT of classical BFT algorithm is going to be 2/3 + 1. So we'll target 67%. So these are kind of like made up numbers. We made up these numbers. And then in 2019, Bez pushed in a Cosmos upgrade, making all of these values controllable by governance. So they're just values, and you can make governance proposals, change them. And then in 2021, we made some small tweaks to these numbers as a community. Joe Jerte, Andrew from the Saga team, led the effort to make some sort of housekeeping level fixes to these numbers because they weren't very responsive. Prop 848 made the first sort of macro change to the number, reducing the maximum inflation value from 10% to 20%.
mean, like, I'll let other people talk, but we could go to like motivations for putting up Prop 848 and stuff like that. But I wanted to stick to the facts.
Thanks for setting this up, Zaki. Zach and Carter, do you have anything to add or supplement?
Yeah, I mean, just the, you know, what Zaki's saying about these being made up numbers, I think is really on the nose. You know, it was the first delegated proof of stake system live in production ever based on a BFT consensus. And we tried to pick more conservative numbers. And I think that, you know, the Prop 848 begins the process of bringing those more in line with reality and the data that we've seen over the last 2 years.
Yeah, the only thing I think I would add, because I think that's a great rundown, is there was this obsession with bonded rates as being the end all be all. And I think as time goes on, there's more and more of an understanding that the utility and usefulness of Atom ultimately contributes to its economic security. And there's more to the puzzle of network security than just the bonded ratio.
Yeah, and Zaki, could you talk about the motivation for Prop 848? Why is it the ideal time now for such a proposal? And maybe you could also set it up in the context of what you term the Halving Trilogy.
All right. So Occlusion, the Occlusion team, me, Christy, Tony Shella, we sort of decided to, we put up this idea, of a temperature check. So we put it up on the forum. Hey, like what if we, do the, this idea of decreasing the max inflation to 10%. My personal, and I think the rest of the Occlusion team shares these views, which is I found it really, so, you know, throughout 2019, 2020, 2021, Cosmos Hub was comfortably in the 70% bonded rate approximately. And you know, there was a lot of bonded atoms. Inflation went down to 7%, and pretty much stayed there. Min inflation became a more interesting question than max inflation. And then Terra happened. And since Terra happened, the bonded rate has been below target, for more days than it hasn't. So the bonded rate was below target for more days than it happened, than it hadn't. And, you know, some annoying things would happen. Like Coinbase would announce, hey, we're rotating our operator keys. They could have used the liquid staking module to do it. They decided to do it by unbonding. But it was like, you know, everybody who looked at Atom Monitor, like how many atoms and expected future inflation, was like, okay, like, all right. So like one large custodian decides to do some key management. And now we're going to like lock in like another year of, you know, above 10% Atom inflation. And it makes Atom look like a fucking joke of an asset, right? Like why, like, oh, we're just going to inflate because like these arbitrary numbers, because of like this arbitrary target of 67%. We're just going to like keep printing more atoms. We're going to still just keep, and it like, it reinforces this like bizarre, this like kind of, lack, like sort of, culture of like top validators and large whales, benefiting from this in some sense, but it just makes like Atom a weak brand. It makes, and you know, we're at like a sort of big turning point in the market, right? The sort of Cosmos revival thesis that I've been working on since Terra, and, you know, been working with the rest of the inclusion team and working on with people who were Atom 2.0 proponents, you know, between with Noble launching, DYDX launching, Celestial launching, you know, Barrachain soon, Babylon just announcing a large raise. Like, we are turning the ship around, but, you know, the downside of the thing about turning the ship around is we are moving away from a regime of Atom as the only large cap asset in the ecosystem, and Atom needs to get more distinctive. And the other thing I learned from the Atom 2 proposal is making proposals that don't do anything, signaling proposals that are highly divisive, are incredibly pointless, emotionally exhausting, and, like, don't accomplish anything except for hurting everyone's feelings. And so this proposal, 848, was the first in a series of proposals to sort of align Atom's monetary policy better with a growing DeFi ecosystem and a growing IBC ecosystem, and to give Atom a shot at becoming a very, very useful capital asset within the ecosystem. There's a lot of things you can do with Atom and liquid staked Atom today. Hopefully there will be many more things you can do within the future. And Cosmos, Atom should be about more than just staking now.
Jack and Cutter,
the rest of the Havening trilogy is basically is two more parts. One part is setting min inflation to zero, and then the other one is increasing the rate of change, so that if we hit target staking, inflation starts to come down more quickly.
Thanks, Zaki. Zach and Carter, do you all have anything to add?
Yeah, you know, I think that Zaki mentioned Atom 2.0, and, you know, it's been a little bit over a year since then, and there's a lot of things that have happened as a result of that. But fundamentally, the community is moving now in the correct direction towards useful product market fit for Atom as an asset. And I think, you know, it's going to be a really interesting next 3 to 6 months to kind of see how this plays out. Because as Zaki mentioned, there's a lot of large cap competition for the sort of central hub within the ecosystem. And now they're, you know, back when Terra was around, this was another huge problem. And there was this sort of like core of the Cosmos community that wasn't working with Terra and kind of like was not interested in what was going on there. And Terra almost kind of became Cosmos at a certain point. And it was only the collapse of that ecosystem that sort of stopped that. And I know that Celestia and DYDX are not going to collapse in the same way Terra did, because they don't have a built-in bomb at the core of their ecosystems. This is a much more serious challenge to the primacy of Atom as an asset. And if we don't resolve these issues now, then it's going to be a really hard uphill climb for that community. And I think, you know, this is a good first step. But as Zaki's mentioning, there's a number of other things to be done today. You know, this isn't stuff like, oh, we've got to go implement something and maybe in 2025, you know, when you see some of the roadmaps proposed by teams working on the hub, that's kind of what they say. You know, we can push some governance proposals today and as a community fix some of the issues that investors see with Atom as an asset.
Yeah, and I guess what I would add to that is, for those of you wondering, like, how does lowering inflation kind of impact the whole Atom as the best interchain money and as the best kind of interchain apex capital asset as an Atom holder, because kind of that staking rewards decreases with less inflation, it means all these DeFi protocols don't have to spend as many incentives to essentially like attract Atom liquidity. So not only does Atom become a more scarce asset, it becomes easier for all these different DeFi protocols to spend money more efficiently to attract that liquidity. And so this should help Atom propagate quicker as more and more DeFi protocols come online connected to IBC.
Yeah, and Carl, you wrote a great essay that we definitely want to get into later about the Atom endgame. But I think for now, could you help the listeners tuning in, could you help to recount what transpired on 26 November leading up to the approval of Prop 848?
Oh boy, I actually, it's interesting. I was largely focused on the essay in isolation, so I actually wasn't a huge part of the 848 discussion. So I will defer to one of the other speakers perhaps to talk about more of the maybe contentious conversations that happened. Because I very much come at this from like the research side, and as like a neutral third party spectator is how I try to place myself when it comes to thinking about Cosmos's future.
I also was not super involved in this. Yeah, I'm interested to hear Zaki's thoughts.
So I think like one of the things, so, you know, there's a tendency in Cosmos for people to, you know, not want to put up a governance proposal unless, you know, you've already talked to the big validators, already solicited their opinions, and then like when you make a proposal, you're like, hey, I'm gonna like dedicate the next 2 weeks of my life to like campaigning for this. And basically my point of view on it was I have no interest in doing any of that. Didn't talk to a single validator about whether or not they would vote for it. Didn't do anything like that. Put up the temp proposal because I was frustrated with Adam monetary policy. Didn't really respond to the thread. Good discussion happened in the thread anyways. Effort Capital and Cryptocito were like, hey, we should get this thing on chain. I was on vacation. I was like, yeah, okay. So like, if you guys write up some text for the proposal, I'll put the thing on chain. And they were like, cool. So they like wrote up some text. We ran it through a couple of iterations with ChatGPT, put it up on chain, and launched it. Cryptocito before this had come up with the Halvening meme, which is, you know, I think was absolutely, which I didn't come up with at all. You know, it was a good meme. And then it became a very contentious issue. AIB and YJ and immediately declared, you know, holy war against the proposition. Said that they were, you know, done with Atom if it passes, which is a, you know, like, I don't know, hilarious.
Inshallah.
A lot of big validators voted against it. A lot of small validators. So I go to sleep, I think the day before it passed, we're like a few million atoms down. And I'm like, we'll do the rest of the Halvening trilogy. Nevertheless, you know, interesting thing, wake up in the morning and it was like, we were like a few hundred thousand atoms down. And I'm like, oh, Inclusion has a bunch of atoms that we haven't staked. So stake our atoms. The Inclusion multisig working hard early in the morning. Stake a bunch of atoms. I forget the name of the small validator that came in and voted, you know, someone in the, you know, and it, like there was this meme about how Prop 848 was bad for the small validators, but an overwhelming majority of the small validators voted for it. And it like squeaks through by like, I don't know, a few hundred thousand atoms. It was super exciting. It was also, I think, a great demonstration of the ongoing health of Cosmos governance. It was the most engaged prop by any metric in the history of Cosmos. And a bunch of big whale atom holders
did not use with the veto to defeat it, which I think was a great demonstration of there is an ongoing culture of restraint around of not using no with veto.
You know, one thing that I think is really interesting is looking at Zach, he was talking about how this is sort of a triumph of atom governance in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of other ecosystems talk about governance and, you know, sort of like cosplay it. And there's multisigs and stuff like that. But in terms of this large full token holder set governance stuff, it's been funny to see Optimism and Ethereum and Arbitrum all sort of like wade into this. And seeing the discussions around the retroactive grant funding round for Arbitrum have been funny to me in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's great to see Atom Governance pushing things forward and working.
Yeah, definitely. Carter, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, and separate from even kind of the symbolism of how diversified Cosmos governance is at this point, I think from the most zoomed out perspective, it was ultimately a question of, is Atom money or is Atom not money? Like that seemed to be the great debate. And I'm sure there was other sub components within that debate, but I do think this marks a turning point, where the Cosmos community is going to treat Atom as this apex asset. And I think there's so much to be hopeful for now that the tides have kind of turned on this. I think there's a lot to be hopeful about.
Yeah, totally. We'll get to the money question in a bit. But for now, I would love for Zaki and Zach and Carter to maybe, because all notes put out a tweet thread basically explaining why they voted no. I would love to read out some of their reasons and would love to hear your rebuttal or your comeback. So the first point they make is about small validators and ecosystem diversity. They say low inflation challenges small validators who struggle with consumer chain costs. And as a result, the validator community may become less diverse and more centralized due to budget cuts. So Zaki or Zach, what's your response to this?
Yeah, I mean, this is like, anytime you do anything, there's always like reasons why to not do it. And, you know, yeah, there's a bunch of validators who are probably uncompetitive right now. And as an Atom holder set, we can say, hey, we should continue to drag along these uncompetitive validators and just keep paying them. Or we can say, let's try to compete and let's recognize market reality. And, you know, it's tough. Competition is hard. Trust me, I am in this space night and day. I get it. I understand. But we're not going to build a sustainable replacement for the existing financial system if we don't recognize competition and respond to market signals. And this is fundamentally what 848 is about.
I would take slightly the other side of the argument, because I've always felt like the size of the security budget could be shrunk in the form of inflation, but so could like the distribution of that budget. I think it is a larger problem that should be aspired to be solved over time, because, you know, most Cosmos chains are top heavy, and is there a way to solve that in a totally kind of free market solution? I'm not sure the answer is necessarily yes, but I think it's completely fair as a problem. We should aspire to solve the distribution problem. But to your point, Jack, I agree. Like, there are trade-offs, and I think it's a worthy trade-off in this scenario, but I can absolutely appreciate people who are concerned about the smaller validators that are impacted.
All I will say is, I think empirically, we don't see any, empirically, the votes of small validators and the fact that the Cosmos Hub validator set continues to be full tends to indicate to me that, like, there isn't a big impact
And I think, like, I mean, like, one of the most important things to understand is the validator businesses are complicated. They don't necessarily, it isn't just necessarily like, oh, a linear, like, Adam, commission goes in, profit goes out, we pay for our costs. Most validators are in multiple lines of business. They validate multiple chains. Brand equity is important to them. They're complicated businesses. So I am not a fan of simplistic models of validators and like why they do things. I am open and likely to support some sort of another thing I really dislike about like the state of proof of stake is that like so many large cap chains depend on use Nakamoto coefficient metrics that really depend on foundations with a large amount of these staked assets choosing where to delegate. And I think that's also like we're clearly not doing this right if the only force for decentralization is that the foundation chooses to delegate to a wide variety of validators. Like, that's not great either. And so I think we got to keep running experiments. I think I'm excited about Effort's vote power tax idea. I really do think that someone should put up a signaling prop for the validator socialism idea, or a community spend proposal to start implementing it. I think that would be really cool. The validator socialism idea is basically, instead of the only revenue the validators generate from the hub being commission, there being some set aside emission of atoms that goes to any member of the validator set once you get into the, you know, the lowest number spot, and emission is not sort of market dependent. All validators get it. They don't get to compete. They're not competing for it. So I think the proof of stake model has lots of work to evolve. And I think 848 is not remotely the end of a story. It is just simply a step forward. But I think it's also interesting, like one of the things that has been a sort of interesting cultural battle is, you know, you have like largely, like, I mean, like you see this big influence of like the Koreans and Romanians in the validator set, really opposing this idea of, you know, Adam as money. Consistently across multiple proposals. And I'm wondering whether or not, but, you know, as we move in this direction, it's not like they've seemed to be unbonding in large numbers. And so the question is like, really, where do they want this to go? And whether or not we can align more as a community at some point around what it appears the majority of staked Atom holders want which is the like Atom primarily as a capital asset within a rapidly growing IBC ecosystem.
Gotcha. And another point Allnode made was, according to them, research on cryptocurrencies over the past decade indicate that lowering inflation does not significantly impact token value. And they say it is better to focus on network growth and utility to boost Atom's value. And in point five, they made a related statement. They say that according to, they consulted apparently some well-known DeFi hedge fund, and he said that reducing the maximum inflation rate of Atom to 10% would lead to a drop in staking APR by a third. And this could backfire because those who bought Atom for staking purposes might sell off their tokens, lowering Atom's market value. Do you agree with this analysis?
So there has been this school. So there have been some questions. Okay. So the first question is, why is Atom's market cap so high? The Atom Cosmos Hub chain itself
does about, you know, less than one TPS on a regular basis. Its block space is not particularly scarce or valuable. The IBC ecosystem is, lots of stuff, lots of exciting stuff is constantly happening in it. But Atom is not a layer one blockchain in any sense. It has become more like a layer one blockchain post interchain security. But it is still a pretty different model than your standard layer one blockchain. So people are like, why is Atom a large cap asset in the first place? And, you know, this is, I think, a mystery for many people. And one thing that is definitely true is Atom basically launched around the same time as lots of players in the cryptocurrency ecosystem. Players in the cryptocurrency ecosystem started to launch staking yield products. These staking yield products were like, you go on Trust Wallet, you go on Binance, you go on Coinbase, you see a page full of staking yields, and you're like, oh, I'm going to pick one. And Atom, especially post 2022, would be consistently the highest large cap liquid asset in there in terms of staking yield. And so, a lot of people feel that, Atom's product Atom is the staking yield, that like it's the only thing reason why anyone knows about it. I think very few, I would say that the majority of people who hold Atom, not the majority of Atom out there, but the majority of people who hold Atom, many of them don't know anything about it other than it's staking coin. It's been interesting, but like you actually haven't seen like that many people showing up on Reddit or in Telegram from my observation and being like, hey, the staking yield drop, why? Like a few people have. But I think this is like, I think there's a question. There's a real question here, which is like, yield coin is not going to work. Inflationary yield coin is like it always backfires on some time scale, right? Like we saw Evmos go through this like crazy cycle, and we've seen many Cosmos chains try to like get attention, get mind share by being like high yield coins, and none of them have survived. None of them have done well across multiple market cycles. It's been a mess. And it seemed like, and like my point of view is always that these like, you know, the Atom must have high yield people in the Atom voter set have always been building a recipe for the eventual irrelevance of Atom. And so, you know, I think Atom must transition. It must transition into something that has a different brand and a different use case, and people conceive of it different ways. Simply being a high yield staking coin is just going to be a mistake. And I think actually coming into a new bull market is a great opportunity, is like the critical moment for Atom to, and so the timing has worked out.
Jack and Carter, do you want to respond to all notes points?
I think Zaki did a good job handling those. You know, again, there's always a danger to doing anything. And I think that Allnodes did a good job of sort of like putting together the most cogent arguments from the no camp. At the end of the day, more Atom stakers think the 848 approach of lowering inflation is better. And hopefully we see that voter bloc continue to move things forward. I like to think of these proof of stake systems in terms of governing coalitions. And, you know, Zaki mentioned the Korean validators and the French validators who have been sort of like consistently voting in one direction. It appears that there's a governing coalition that's come to the fore now that it is no longer anti-progress effectively. You know, yes, it is safe to just kind of sit on this same inflation, but I think everyone knows what happens to with inflation is that it makes your shares worth less. And that's a really important thing that people forget about with inflation.
The only other thing I would add is inflation, generally speaking, is a force for some form of centralization because it's a transfer of wealth from one set of entities to another, right? So if you really push the inflation experiment hard and let's say there was 1,000% inflation, then the people that aren't staked are getting inflated extremely rapidly and their values essentially being transferred to those who are receiving the inflation. So as a general school of thought, lower inflation, I think, reduces the level of centralization. And it also improves kind of the liquidity profile of Atom because the opportunity cost of not staking is lower, which ultimately results in more utility for Atom, which ultimately finds its way back to improving the underlying economic security of the entire network. So there's definitely a balance in there where obviously 0% inflation means the people that aren't staked would be essentially undervaluing those who are providing that service for the hub. And so it is an experiment. I think it is a good step forward, and it's ultimately in the hands of the community. So,
and just to stay on you, Carter, you wrote a wonderful piece called Atom Endgame, Moneyness, Security, and Liquidity. What prompted you to write this piece, and can you summarize for us the thesis of your essay?
Yeah, so the piece that prompted the article, I think I've mentioned it earlier, was there seems to be the folks that were against 848, there seems to be kind of this mental model that says more utility for Atom is somehow in opposition to its like economic and security profile. And I reject that premise in the essay and kind of walk through in part one and part two that bonded ratio is not the end all be all. And then from there, once kind of like proving out that fact and running under those assumptions, then the question then becomes like, how do we improve the utility of Atom in these next couple of years? And I listed out a couple of pieces of the puzzle. I think a couple, the biggest thing is that I think Cosmos as a brand is extremely trusted. And I think Cosmos could take a bigger role of having Cosmos branded infrastructure. Imagine you have your Cosmos bridge page right now. The bridge experience is distributed throughout lots of different applications, which is great and should continue to be so. But imagine getting onboarded in Cosmos and you're directed to an extremely secure, extremely well-run, best-in-class relayers tied to a bridging experience, tied to a Cosmos Hub branded wallet. Like, I think these types of infrastructure plays will position Cosmos Hub well over the long haul. Kind of also outline how I think Cosmos is missing like a risk assessment team. There's this huge opportunity for the hub to lend out Atom, earn yield from its Atom, and kind of be this not only decentralized money and this decentralized governance, but also some form of like a decentralized bank. But you can't take the risk of placing Atom at scale, I think, onto other platforms until there's a team devoted to assessing those types of risks. But if Cosmos Hub was able to pull together a super high level risk assessment team in the form of like audit assessments and economics, you could start doing really interesting things with the hub that would improve its liquidity profile. Imagine the hub lending out Atom to things like UMI and the things like Mars and earning yield on lending it out while improving its liquidity profile. These are pretty like bold ideas and bold concepts. But I mainly wanted to come in and provide, you know, a list of 10 plus items that are focused on infrastructure, focused on Atom as moneyness, and embracing kind of the trust that exists within the Cosmos brand. And how can we continue to push that and improve the user stories that we all interact with that make us trust Atom as a useful form of interchain money.
Gotcha. And Zaki, maybe just to set a bit of context, can you explain the central debate with regards to Atom as money argument? Some people believe Atom should be money. Some people don't think it should be money.
I missed. What was the question about the argument? Like, why do people think it should or shouldn't be money?
Yeah, precisely. And what are your thoughts on it?
So my biggest, So I guess I think things are a little are interesting and complicated. I think Atom is in many ways a tricky thing to make money, right? If you could design money in the Cosmos ecosystem from nothing, you would design something very different. I generally think, there's in a sort of platonic ideal world, Jay's ideas around photons are not wrong. But we do not live in that world. We live in a world where, Atom has got an enormous amount of exposure to a very wide community of people. It has a really strong and widely accepted brand name. It is the meme-carrying asset for the IBC meme and for the Cosmos meme. And it has deep liquidity, and that deep liquidity has made it very useful for building a lot of DeFi services on top of it. If you look at, Stride's TVL is 60% plus Atom. IST stablecoins and USK stablecoins, the majority of it is minted with Atom collateral. Huge amounts of Atom volume flow between various chains. The Atom pair is always consistently one of the highest volumes, or actually the highest volume pair on Osmosis. So all of these things are just practical realities. And so the question is how do we evolve Atom to be a multi-role asset, to be something that does provide economic security, to hopefully useful things, how that it does have a governance function, and that governance function has to evolve over time. Because truth is the Cosmos Hub belongs to the Atom holders. And it must have this, so Atom must serve multiple masters. It will always serve those multiple masters in tension. But to me, this is the most reasonable path to a top 10 asset and to the long-term viability of the Cosmos ecosystem Atom taking off, being willing to consider itself to acknowledge the reality that it serves multiple roles and multiple functions.
Jack, do you have anything to add? And what's your response to Carter's essay?
Yeah, I love a lot of this stuff Carter wrote, and just want to co-sign on what Zaki said. And I think giving Carter another minute or two to sort of chat through his thoughts too would be great.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I think you guys have done a great job dialoguing on it. I think when I think about growth, it's always like, what has the strongest network effects and what's going to see the most exponential growth? And in my mind, it's the propagation and use of the Cosmos SDK, as well as the number of IBC connections. So it's like, if those are the things that are going to just go absolutely exponential the next 5-10 years, how can Atom be best part of that exponential story? And in my mind, it's tied to Atom going everywhere that IBC and the Cosmos SDK goes, that it exists in as many places in the most liquid and safe form as possible. And then as the hub, understanding that that's one of its primary goals. To Zaki's point, there's obviously there's multiple. Atom serves multiple masters, to use that language. But I think within the moneyness and capital asset story, there's a lot left to be invested in to ensure that Atom continues to propagate as things go exponential. I think if we kind of overly focus on pointing inwards and not outwards, there's a huge opportunity cost that's lost there. And so the primary purpose of the essay is, let's have the best infrastructure in Cosmos, right? Like that is the investment that anytime someone touches a Relayer experience, a wallet experience, a bridge experience, all the things that help propagate Atom out into that exponentially growing ecosystem, that it's beautiful and it's perfect. And I think it's time to embrace that Cosmos has a lot of trust in its name. And as we enter the next cycles of growth, yes, it's beautiful that we have this distributed set of, you know, wallets and bridges and all these different components, but I think the hub should lean into its brand. Understand that users trust Cosmos as a name and invest into the infrastructure to continue to, you know, guarantee that faith and trust. And as time goes on, I think there's going to be a tipping point for Atom, and it will kind of cement its role as really, really strong interchain money. Right now, that it's kind of the case, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. And that's kind of the premise of the essay. There's still a lot to be invested in.
Thanks, Carter. One thing I want to get your opinions on is, so shortly after Prop 848 was passed, Jay announced that he wanted to coordinate a split called Atom One. So just curious, what are your thoughts on Atom One? And maybe to start with you, Zaki, if you had to steel man Jay's Atom One proposal, how would you do it? And is there any part of the proposal that makes sense for you?
So I have not been paying very close attention to the Atom One proposal. Mostly do not care. Do not think that there is anyone involved who is actually capable of executing an Atom fork in a way that makes any material impact on anything. I am excited for AIB to sell so we can go higher. My general point of view is so that, but like there are some things that like I think are like an interesting discourse and dialogue, which is why do we have liquids? So one component of like sort of Jay's long-term ideas has been this kind of pseudo liquid staking token, which has a fixed supply and a bonding curve to mint the asset. And what you can do is you can engineer this thing such that like this token will always sort of accrue value on increase in value relative to as more Atom is printed as incentives, your Photon apps will always be worth more, will always be exchangeable for more of it, and it has this why is it that the market like wants so desperately Stride's ST Atom and other Atom derivatives? And it's because the Atom brand is so powerful, right? Like the Atom brand is so out there, it's so valuable, it appears on top of CoinMarketCap, like millions of people are aware of it. It is extensively discussed in the crypto media. And as a practical matter, launching something new, launching a new brand name for an asset, regardless of its properties, is an enormous effort,
And it's an effort that like is borderline impossible. And so the, and like, so I think that there is this, like, there's this nature of like, where, you know, there are forces beyond the forces just internal to the Cosmos Hub that have shaped the evolution of this system. And we must be humble in the face of those forces and like not believe that we can just re-engineer them. I also practically believe that the architecture of I am going to stand up a new piece of software, airdrop to tokens to, you know, people in Cosmos, and as like a significant factor in the Cosmos ecosystem. So I, you know, put up this forum post talking about building the Atom War Stack, which is, I believe that if you are going to fork the Cosmos Hub, you need to have a system by which people who want to participate in that fork actually transfer their atoms to mint the governance token into protocol controlled value of the new chain. Like, the new chain must have its value be anchored in owning a lot of atoms and in controlling a lot of atoms. And there also must be an opportunity cost, i.e., users must give up their liquid atom to imbue the chain with value. And I think there's like a right architecture for this. I think the, like, if somebody wants to build, I think that like there are some clever ideas in Jay's proposal. I think that the I think that there are some clever ideas there. I think that there are that like doing this correctly involves writing a bunch of new code. And I think, and I'm like skeptical that virtually any version of the proposal is within the capacities of All in Bits as an organization to execute.
Jack and Carter, do you have anything to add?
I think, no, I don't. I think Zachy's got it spot on there.
I think that we've seen this type of thought process with like VE models, where people are buying up a bunch of a token so they can govern some form of emissions. I feel like this is like the pure governance version of it without yield. And the question is like, is there a strong enough of a governance issue in line to compel people to kind of join that chain and hand over, you know, their atom, their governance power in return for something that governs that voting power? I don't know if the line is that clear in the sand. I think Jay would say there is, but I'm really curious to see how it plays out. Definitely an interesting experiment. We'll see how it goes.
Awesome. And so I'm going to start to conclude our Twitter space. I want to ask everyone, what does your end game for Cosmos look like? Carter, you want to go first?
Sure. I'll try to keep it pretty quick. I think the world I envision is, you know, 2 to 3 years from now, there's thousands of blockchains tied to IBC. Atom has invested significantly into every portion of the infrastructure stack and is focused on propagating Atom aggressively out to all of those IBC connected chains, as well as non-IBC chains. And it is one of the most useful, if not the most useful, interchain money that exists. And it's seamlessly used in many consumer applications, many different DeFi protocols. And it's an incredibly secure blockchain that is extremely trusted.
Jack?
Yeah. You know, Atom is the asset that birthed the proof of stake movement in a lot of ways. And we've been working hard on that for a long time. And the IBC ecosystem that Atom has created is, I believe, going to outlive it and outshine it in many ways. And we're seeing the beginning of that right now.
Zaki?
I think, you know, I actually am. Sunny, when Sika voted yes on 848, I think pointed out like a really good, which is Adam has a bunch of properties today that are actually going to be that are like really, really hard to replicate. It's really hard to replicate the Adam distribution, how decentralized that distribution is. It is also really hard to replicate a set of circumstances by which a blockchain could actually overthrow its founders and actually become its own independent thing. And so I think that the big role of Adam, that like the Adam experiment has become, frankly, more interesting now in a post 848 world and in a world where AIB is unbonding into a world where like Adam is very much a sovereign, self-governed, common entity that is really trying to establish itself as a sort of unique thing in the world of sort of blockchains and blockchain. And it is sort of like a decentralization maximalist thing. And I think the experiment is going to be interesting to see like where it goes. It is going to be harder for Adam to like construct narratives around various alliances. But I also think, I mean, it's there's sort of this weird. It's really unexpected to me that like it was clear to me that 848 may represent a kind of turning point in terms of alignments in the ecosystem around the future direction of Atom, because it does seem to have been a break with the past. And while every future vote is always going to be contentious, I think in many ways, I do think, there seems to be this abandonment of a willingness of like, of this sort of party, this coalition that was built around sort of just blocking all change.
Awesome. And before I close this space, is there anything else you want listeners to take away from this space?
I would just say I think there's a lot to be hopeful for post 848, and continue to be engaged, continue to dream about what the hub can be, because there's a lot of movers and shakers, but it's ultimately going to come down. As things continue to be more decentralized, it's actually more and more going to be on the backs of like activism and volunteerism within the context of Adam. That's going to help continue to drive it forward in this very unique way.
Yeah. And it's a unique playing field as it becomes more decentralized for activism and volunteerism. And there isn't a large cap asset in blockchain that is like that anywhere else.
Jack?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of people talk about decentralization. And one of the things that I've, you know, really identified with is like, everyone over at ETH talks about decentralization, but we launched Atom with no safeguards and no progressive decentralization. And in a large part, we've seen the downsides of that over the last few years. But I think that there's a risk of throwing out the baby with the bathwater here. And Atom can be this place where a lot of those original ideals are still strong. And we learn how to harness the benefits of decentralization and downplay some of the bigger issues with it in terms of misalignment and drift and sort of self-interest. Looking forward to that.
Awesome. And with that, I would like to conclude today's Twitter space. Thank you, Zaki, Jack, and Carter. We'd love to do this again.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible losses, all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.